Hello and welcome to the next episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. Today I want to be talking about letting go of control. Letting go of control. I am a recovering control freak architect. A control freak architect. That was most definitely one of the ways of being that were trying to control the way that I was creating architecture. I think a lot of that had to do with the way that, or the, I think that that way of being was taught in the architecture education system. Not saying that I'm blaming that all on, my university experience. But there's this, precision. Okay, I'm just holding my architectural scale here, for the people who are watching the YouTube video of this podcast episode. Do you remember what these things are? They are architectural scale rulers. I still draw plans with my hands. I love drawing with my hands. Drawing with paper on trace paper and drafting with my rulers, etc. There is something about architecture that requires us to be very precise with our measurements, to have control over all the moving parts of a construction process, of a design process. There are so many consultants and factors within project planning that we need to have a handle on, right? And especially if you are in a country where the Architects Association and the government rather requires you to be, liable that you were where architects are liable for the safety of buildings, then that's like a whole other level of control that you need to step into and be, and more importantly, responsibility. So we have a responsibility to keep buildings safe. We have a responsibility to keep buildings, at a certain health standard, right? That air is moving through them. Now, of course, fresh air is circulating through them. Now, of course, that is not, all of our expertise, but we need to be hiring the right mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, structural engineers, making sure we have a solid team to make this building shine, right? To make the project shine, to make the project a success. And with that, of course, we want to create art with our forms, create beauty with the architecture that we create. And that requires us to understand how materials meet and not only understand, but bring materials together in such a way that they create beauty. Bring materials in such a way that feel good for the eye or feel good for when you walk in and you're just like, wow, these proportions are beautiful. Or wow, I love how the light is streaming through just at the perfect time of day when the sun is setting and the light streams through this space into the kitchen or wherever. And that there's a certain flow as well in the floor plan, right? That the adjacencies between spaces are flowing, are working well. The entrance is at the ideal sweet spot on the site. I mean, there's so much that we are coordinating, right? Coordinating, crafting, and designing at once to create this architecture. And that can, that being coordinating all of this does require a certain amount of control, but it can end up turning into, it can end up going to the extreme where we become control freaks. I mean, architects are, notoriously known for having big egos. I have an ego as well. I mean, we all have egos and we all want, to be a success. I mean, some architects more than others, right? We want to be published in the design magazines. We want the fame. We want to build beautiful spaces and be known for them, recognized for them. And of course, there's a lot of architects who really just want to do a good job. You want to create a good, healthy, sound space that is not gonna, crumble after, 3 years, or have water issues, or whatever. So there's all these practical things. But architects are also artists, and we use architecture as a way of expressing ourselves. And we if we are if our if we are driven if our architecture practice is driven by egotistical motives, then we can one of the manifestations of that can be being a control freak, because you want to be in the limelight, be in the spotlight. You want to you want to have your signature on every single design, right? You want to have ownership over it. You want to show people, society, your colleagues, your family, whoever you're trying to prove yourself to, right? That you're the best, right? That you are doing incredible work. And in that, I mean, there we could dive so deep into the control freak character, right? I'm curious if any of you relate with this character, if you have that character within you. I mean, that character still shows up in me for sure, and I notice it, and then I work with doing some shadow work to notice what that part of me is trying to show me and teach me about myself, and what I can learn to improve and become a better person. So what I have seen in architecture practices that I've worked in various different cities, various different scales of practices, is there are a lot of these egotistical architects who try to micromanage everything, or really just have big attitudes and think that they know everything. They can get pretty intimidating as well for the rest of the office, the people working in the office, and they try to just run the whole show and control everything, basically, right? And what a manifestation of that in society as well as in humanity, or at least on this earth, is that this need to dominate, this need to control, and this power over energy has depleted the land and has put the human being, the human being's ego and unprocessed shadow shit at the forefront of a building. And what that does is that it takes away the whole in that paradigm. Let me just gather my words here. In that paradigm, working with nature, working with the spirit of the land, co-creating with the spirit of the land, and listening to the land and surrendering to the mystery and magic of the spirit of the land doesn't exist in that paradigm. In that paradigm, you could say one's lower desires, drives for fame, fortune, money, drives for control, right? Reign over a paradigm where, in fact, everyone is part of a whole. And there's a natural in-breath and out-breath and exchange between human beings and this planet, human beings and each other, human beings and animals and the mineral kingdom and the plant kingdom. And to know that there's a greater, being aware that there's actually a greater force higher than you that is involved in building the most, in creating life, in creating the elements which create life. You could call that God, you could call it source. And so, really, yeah, what the control freak architect tries to do is play God. And, I've noticed my not noticed, but I've my clients that I'm working with now, mentoring women architects and designers on how to bridge spirit with form and how they can weave in their spiritual spiritual magical capacities into building a successful business that attracts dream clients and amazing money. And it's so fun because I'm working on, especially with one particular client right now, where we are redefining, recreating, rebranding her business. And she's developing her own design modality based on all of the experience that she's gained as an interior designer, an artist, et cetera. And she's noticing that as she practices this new modality that she is developing in co-creation with her, with the land, in co-creation with this earth, in co-creation with her soul, that there this control freak is popping up as she's practicing and serving her clients, that she wants to control the, the whole show. Every single product, every single outcome of each stage of the design process, that she's the one drawing the lines, she's the one creating the drawings. And we just had this epiphany moment. She had this epiphany moment. I was holding space for it, where it was like, oh my God, I'm still holding on to doing everything myself. I'm still holding on to, perhaps for me, there was this hidden martyr behind the control freak, the martyr. That's the save, right? Saving everyone, sacrificing themselves for the well-being of everyone. And there, when we go deeper in the alchemical energy healing sessions that I provide for my clients, and some of the our private sessions as well, when we go into deep journeying and deepening in, okay, well, what's the source? What is causing this control freakness? What is causing it? And there's a lot, likely there's some trauma there that's been unprocessed. Could be from a past life, it could be from childhood. For me, oh God, I mean, there was for sure some kind of a burning temple in one of my past lives, and I was the architect of that temple, and it was just a trauma. to see the structure that I had built go down. Something of that on those lines. There was something going on with me there. And so I just became a control freak because of that. I know that there's more to it, but so there's deeper reasons, right? Why we hold on to these ways of being, right? To keep us safe, to keep others safe, to keep our buildings safe, to keep our identity safe. And it's also because of the way that we've been taught, the way we've been programmed in society to get everything right, to be on the ball, to be in control of everything. And while there are a lot of architecture practices that work really well as a team, and they all acknowledge, each team member acknowledges that everyone shines in a different way. And, you know, the people who are running that company really do need know how to make best use of each and everyone's gifts, right, and skills. So I'm not saying it's all bad, but in general, there is this being, this energy, this monster that's been created through this unprocessed shadow shit of humanity. And this monster is this machismo, you know, control freak energy that tries to play God. And what ends up happening is that it thinks that it can run the show in all aspects of life, including, okay, well, let's just, you know, plow down this natural habitat, this forest, and create a suburb there or a shopping mall, right? Without any paying any respect to the existing ecosystem there, right? As an example. So going back to the epiphany that my client had, you know, she's realizing, oh my God, actually I can make, in trying to control everything, I'm also depleting myself. I'm overworking. I'm trying to overprove, overplease, overinsert, create, over design. And part of what came through to me when I was birthing the Sacred Blueprint System was actually the Sacred Blueprint System is enabling the architect to do a lot less work, because there is a structure that is created that is rooted in establishing a foundation that is rooted in, I know I'm repeating my words right now just because I went on a bit of a freeze here, rooted in right relations with the spirit of the land, rooted in right relations with the nature spirits, rooted in right relations with our souls, with the essence of life, with beauty, with goodness, with truth, with magic, with creation. And there is, while the Sacred Blueprint modality that I've developed is a system that you follow, it's like a system that helps my clients, as well as the architects, to surrender to the great mystery and allow the magic of life to weave itself into the co-creation process, and allow and invite Mother Earth, the nature spirits, the angels, the landscape devas, all to come in and co-create the sanctuary with you. If you are trying to over-design, if you're trying to overdo, if you're trying to over-insert yourself, if you're trying to insert your ideas your meanings, your thoughts, your opinions way too early in the design process as an architect, or even as a client, as a property owner, a land steward. What ends up happening is that you miss incredible opportunities to receive potent guidance from the spirit of the land. Crucial information from the spirit of the land. And so it's really an art to simultaneously lead your clients through a co-creative process, a process to get them from a certain point, right? A to B to C to D, right? Getting them to a point where they birth their optimal home, their optimal blueprint. But part of how, working with one of the essential ingredients to working successfully with spirit is to be able to deeply listen. And in order for that to happen, a certain amount of surrender needs to occur. A certain amount of letting go needs to occur. Letting go of preconceived ideas, letting go of preconceived notions, letting go of plans and styles and building shapes and forms that, that you think that you need to use and employ for a specific project, right? Letting go of forms that you are, repeating a lot. I mean, I'm even noticing some repeating forms, even to this day. I'm just like, oh, interesting. I keep on repeating that form, right? What's up with that? So letting go, starting with this tabula rasa, right? And this tabula rasa now is like, I'm imagining this altar, this sacred altar in the center of a temple. And, that each and every one of the participants of this co-creation is adding a certain spark, a fire, a sacred offering. And this is actually part of the sacred blueprint process, and really allowing the blueprint to emerge from that configuration of sacred offerings. Now, of course, it is required as the architect to be able to, to listen to what truly your clients are wanting to birth, and to guide them through, guide them successfully to a point where a building design or a garden design gets built, right? Or an interior. But it's really in these beginning stages where we are you're conceptualizing or birthing, I like to use the word birthing, the concept design. You can make your life so much easier by letting go of the control. I mean, we could get into a whole other conversation about what the control does to your nervous system, right? What over control does to your physical body, what over control does to your relationships with your colleagues, with your family, with your partners. So, but in terms of the design process, it's really amazing to see now with my client what's happening when she actually gives the reins to her client, rather than trying to control everything herself as the designer, as the architect. And so much magic came through and is coming through, and visions and ideas and interconnections and synchronicities that were not flowing and streaming through because she was trying to control the outcome. We can even do this with spiritual work. We can even try to control the outcome of people's visions and meditations and intuitions by forcing a certain kind of spiritual energetic container image on them too. So it can happen in all different realms, areas, fields. And it's just, it's really beautiful. You know, the other day I was sharing with another client of mine that, you know, there's a certain point where, you know, you just need to, like the Fool tarot card deck, the zero tarot card. You know, the Fool is about to walk off the edge of a cliff. He's a young boy. He's got a stick with one of those, you know, cloths filled with some of his, you know, stuff that he's carrying with. He's about to embark on a journey. He's going on an initiation, actually. That's a deeper meaning of the Fool card. And he's about to walk off the edge of a cliff. He has no idea what's coming right ahead. And he's happy though. He's happy. He's naive, you could say. But there's a sense of trust as well. Like, I'm doing this and I know there's a lot, there's going to be a lot that I'm going to learn on this path, but I'm trusting, I'm going in this direction. I trust that this is what God has, the path that God has illuminated for me. So with the sacred blueprint system, for me, even there's a certain amount, there's this surrender of letting go, like, okay, just letting my clients know, look, we're entering into this co-creation hand in hand on the edge of this cliff. Are you ready to jump with me? Do you trust? Are you ready to trust nature? Are you ready to trust the spirit of the land? Are you ready to trust the magic that's possible? Are you ready to trust this great mystery of life and jump into this co-creation with me? Because it can be, there's a lot that comes up, especially when you're helping to design people's homes in a spiritual, energetic way. A lot of emotions get released. They need to get processed. They need to be looked at, witnessed, honored, acknowledged, respected, and also gotten rid of, purged, cleared. Old ways of beings, patterns. I mean, there's clients that I've worked with that's, you know, still associate their home with their upbringing, right? And they just, there's some aspects of home that just don't, are not getting, you know, settled into their system, or there's still a part of them that they're, that a part of them that is rejecting the whole concept of home, for example. So through the sacred blueprint process, there's a lot of healing going on as well. And this is part of the new way of creating sanctuaries or spaces, houses, gardens, communities for our clients. If you want to work in a spiritual, energetic way, it is just not possible to go deeper. And if you're wanting to go deeper, you're going to need to relinquish this control and also maintaining certain personas, right? Ways of being, to open up to the love and the magic and the beauty that nature and the spirit of the land can give, can provide, can give, can contribute to the project. And when you do surrender, when you do surrender to this mystery, this magic, and you co-create with the spirit of the land, I've mentioned this before, you bring so much ease and flow to project planning, but you also open the alignments that are necessary to get the necessary building permits, certain applications related to, you know, zoning on a property, attracting phenomenal builders and craftspeople. I'm experiencing that in the construction of our own home. We've been working with a gardener on the land, and he's such an angel. So many people in this area told us that we wouldn't be able to find a good gardener because that they're impossible to find. And we attracted this gardener. I have a great woodworker with such a big heart who always shows up when he says he's going to show up, doesn't delay his work. We've had a few, you know, people come in that are not so aligned. And it's interesting to see, like, as I start to harmonize some of the geopathic stress in our home, this really does increase the abundance, the vitality, as well as magnetize partners, collaborators, right? Builders who are aligned and in service to creating beauty in our home. So I invite you to do some free writing about, where are you trying to control things in your design practice? Are you a control freak? Are you a recovering control freak? Does that control freak still show up in your life, in different aspects of your life? And I invite you to open up a space of wonder, curiosity, open up a space of not knowing when you are about to embark on a new design project, a new architecture project. And let go of all the things that you've learned. Let go of books and magazines, and let go of Pinterest, let go of Instagram. Just get it, just set all of those aside and take time to connect with the spirit of the land, the spirit of the building. Maybe you're working on an existing building. And really open your ears. Open the different dimensions of your ears. Open the different dimensions of your heart. Open the different dimensions of your womb. Open the different dimensions of your feet. Open the different dimensions of your crown, of your head. And really start to feel what kinds of forms and spaces want to emerge on the site. What is the space telling you? What is the site telling you? Listening to the elements, feeling into them, and hold back from taking photos. Hold back from having to take pictures, take photos and archive and immediately save them in digital files, and hold back from trying to immediately draw the plan and figure out the parking and the radiuses. Or how much square meters you can squeeze onto a property. I mean, this is right one of the first things developers do. It's like, how much square meters can I fit on this property minus the setbacks? How much can I squeeze in here? How much can I make money? How much more can I take from the land? instead of, all right, what kind of a relationship am I going to foster with this living, pulsing being that is nature, that is this earth, our mother, who provides for us, who feeds us, who nourishes us, who brings us vitality, who brings us beauty? What is a good and right way of approaching the architecture of this place? And allowing the design to germinate within you, to like a seed being planted within you, allowing it to germinate within you. Now, if you're working with a group and collaborating with others, I invite you to do visioning with the group. Get them to step away from their computers. Get them to feel what it feels like to stand on the earth of the site. Bring your intern architects with you. Bring your colleagues from the project team with you out onto the site and have a picnic there. And ask the land. Ask the land. Write a letter to the land. Write a letter and plant the letter into the earth and ask and say, dear land, we are so grateful that this and this client gave us the opportunity to co-create with you. What a gift you are. Even if this land, PS, is destroyed, even if this land is ugly, even if this land is depleted from all of its life force, it doesn't matter. You could be in the middle of a completely destructed industrial zone in the middle of the city. It doesn't matter. You are still on living, breathing Mother Earth land. You are still on living, breathing Mother Earth's land. Oh, no matter where you are, go there. Write a love letter to the land. Write a gratitude letter to the land and share with the land your intentions for what you want to create, and leave an opening and say, and we're open to your feedback. And we're open to co-creating with you. Show us, guide us. Illuminate us. And let us know how we can help, how we can heal you. So two things: journaling your control freakness. In what areas of your life are you controlling things? Some people control things very quietly and almost in a weird passive aggressive kind of way. Some people control things in a very loud and obvious way. So notice how you try to control things in your design process and in your life. How can you bring more ease by surrendering? And go out and commune with nature. And invite nature and the spirit of the land to be a member of the design process. Ah, so much flowing through. What beautiful souls you are. I can already feel your energies. You are the ancient temple builders of the future, the architectresses here on this earth, on this planet, to build healing sanctuaries with the wisdom of nature, building temples of light, anchoring in new beautiful frequencies to help humanity unfold. I love serving you. Until next time, bye.